Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
With Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. We have a great follow-up show to last week's conversation on neurogenesis. We talked a lot about the science and spirituality and how the potential of our brain and how it changes through things such as diet and exercise and meditation and spiritual practices. And today we're going to talk with William T. Hathaway, who has also been on the program before, and he's also a regular contributor to my blog at HestiaHealth.com. And we are going to talk about cultivating peace and how we can do that through meditation, as well as have him share some of his personal story about how meditation has changed his life. And primarily, he writes about peace from different perspectives, whether it's through the cultivation of or through the use of meditation, and looking at a lot of comparing and contrasting our culture and society and our views of war and our patriarchy, and how that also interferes with our ability to really connect with peace within ourselves. So it should be a fantastic show. We have actually had him on the program before, and I think back in May, so you can always go back through our archives, May 13th, I believe. We've talked about a lot of different things. And as I said, he is a regular contributor to my blog at Hestia Health. So again, if you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio, and I'm continuing my contest, hashtag Entanglement Radio. If you are out there and you are a regular listener, I'd love to hear from you, and I'm giving away a free intuitive reading every month that I name the winner at the first show of every month. So all you have to do is go to your Twitter account, say, hey, I'm a listener, whatever, have some feedback, and include hashtag Entanglement Radio. And if you are not on Twitter, you can always go to my Facebook page and just say, hey, I really enjoyed last week's show, or I'd love to hear you talk about this. I'm a listener. And then I put all those little names into a hat and draw the winner at the first of every month. So next week, we have the amazing Shelley Wilson. If you are a regular reader of OM Times, she is a featured author. She's also one of the executive editors. She's a writer, a medium, just an amazing lady. And she is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about owning your own story and how to live consciously and deliberately in your life. And she has a personal perspective to share, as well as professional, based on all the work that she does with so many people. And then following that, we have Richard Redden. He is the author of Gene Keys. Then we have Phyllis King. We have some amazing people coming up in October, so stay tuned for that. But as I mentioned, today we have William T. Hathaway back on the program, and we are going to be talking about peace and meditation. You know, I've actually had him on my previous radio show, and lots of times we get caught up in some of the stuff that's going wrong in society. So he kind of said, hey, next time I come on your show, let's talk about something more positive. Let's look at things that we can do to not only create change in our own bodies and our own minds, but as well as on a global scale. And so peace and meditation go hand in hand with that. So let me introduce my guest. William T. Hathaway began his writing career as a newspaper reporter in San Francisco, then joined the Special Forces to write a book about war. A World of Hurt won a Reinhardt Foundation Award for his portrayal of the psychological roots of war, the emotional blockage and need for patriarchal approval that draw men into the military. Other books include Summer Snow, Rip and Burn, Radical Peace, People Refusing War, Wellsprings, A Fable of Consciousness, and his latest book, Lila the Revolutionary, which is a fable for adults about an 8-year-old Indian girl who sparks a world revolution for social justice. Having trouble today. Hathaway was a Fulbright professor of creative writing and American studies at universities in Germany, where he currently resides. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome William T. Hathaway to the program. How are you doing, William?
Good, Angela. Thank you for the wonderful description of my work. I'll try to live up to it. Yeah, I became a peace activist the hard way. Back in the 1960s, I made a mistake. One of many, actually. But this was worse than the others. I joined the Special Forces to write a book about war. The war in Vietnam was just getting started then, and the moral dimensions of it really weren't clear to me. But then 3 long years later, I came back undamaged physically, but damaged emotionally, filled with fear, anger, guilt. I was trapped in a self-destructive depression. I couldn't think clearly enough to write, and my social relationships were terrible. I knew I had to get rid of this huge burden of stress before I could live at peace with myself or anyone else. And a friend of mine had started doing transcendental meditation and said it made his mind clear and calm. So I tried it and found out he was right. When I meditated, I sat with eyes closed and thought a mantra, a sound without meaning, that took my mind to quieter, finer levels, and eventually, beyond all mental activity, to deep silence. It was like diving down through an inner ocean into this realm of serenity that was there, and I could contact it now. And the effects were more real than anything I'd experienced with psychedelics or prayer, and gradually my stress and pressure began to be relieved. So I started going on world peace assemblies where large groups of people meditated together, and that strengthened the effects. It made me both tranquil inside, but also energized, wanting to be active also. And I felt so close to the other people around me. I felt this deep connection, even to the birds and the grass and the rocks and the water. I could see they're basically the same as me, and that our surface separations are really an illusion. Essentially, at the deep levels, we're all one consciousness expressing itself in different forms. We're the different forms of this one thing, the consciousness. And these experiences through TM gradually healed my war trauma. Now I knew the violence was in the past. It wasn't raging right now in my head. My relationships improved, and I could write. The novel, A World of Hurt, won this award, as Angela mentioned, and got me this university job teaching creative writing. But the deep calm of meditation is more than just a subjective experience. It's not just a mood or a feeling. Physiological research has shown that during TM, oxygen consumption decreases twice as much as it does during deep sleep. And the brain waves become more coherent. They change from the usual scattered, disordered patterns into synchronized waves that coordinate across both hemispheres of the brain. And the bloodstream, these stress hormones decrease, and hormones that improve well-being and learning ability increase. And we're not in a trance. You're fully alert and aware of your surroundings, but with this deep inner calm and rest. This is a fourth state of consciousness. These physiological parameters are distinct from the 3 usual states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. It's a state of transcendental consciousness where it's very rejuvenating, and the physiology can repair the damage done by traumas like I'd experienced. But recent research has shown that the effects, they don't stop with the individual. It turns out that when large groups of people meditate together, it produces coherence and stability, not just in themselves, but also in society around them, even though the other people in the outlying areas aren't meditating. It's an extended effect that's demonstrated in many experiments where large groups got together for long meditations. And during every one of these assemblies, the crime, the violence, and even car accidents and stuff like that, fires and stuff, all these evidences of disorder, they dropped in the whole surrounding region. And the composite quality of life index, the government keeps statistics on these things like public health, economics, and social harmony, that increased. The meditators improved the whole society. But after the assemblies ended, the figures returned to their previous levels. So it was just this effect of these people sitting there in a large group meditating together. How can that happen? How can meditators sitting with their eyes closed influence people many miles away? Well, quantum physics describes how everything in the universe is connected through underlying fields. And this angel with her, the title of the show, Entanglement Radio, this is where we're entangled. We're entangled at this deep level where the differences fade and the unity takes over. An example of this field effect is the electromagnetic field. That's easy to understand because we're familiar with that. The radios, the television, works on this basis. A transmitter sends waves through this invisible field, and receivers many miles away can instantly convert them into sound and pictures. It's similar with our minds. They send mental energy through this field of consciousness that connects everyone. And we're all continually transmitting and receiving these influences. The mental atmosphere we share is loaded with these things. But the program they're broadcasting is often one of fear, frustration, anger, aggression. It's a toxic collective consciousness out there, and it's very polluting to all of us. We're affected by this negative side too. We pick up on that. And under this influence, as it mounts, people who can't handle their personal stress, they become more and more prone to turn to crime to solve their problems. And as the negative atmosphere intensifies and the pressures mount, groups of people turn to warfare, the mass criminality of warfare.
Well, I got to stop you there, but when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about what you think these world peace assemblies can achieve and a little bit about potential. So we'll return here on Entanglement Radio.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. My guest again today is writer William T. Hathaway, and we are talking about peace and meditation and kind of how that the things that contribute in our society to war and our lack of ability to cultivate peace on an individual and global scale. Before the break, you were talking about these World Peace Assemblies. And I actually wrote an article, I don't know, it was probably a year ago for Om Times, called Spiritual Crowdfunding, where I talked about these specific examples where they came together. I think there's like 7,000 meditators that came together in Washington, D.C., and they decreased the crime rate there. And they, you know, concentrated their efforts on other places, war-torn places across the world. And how, you know, we hear about crowdfunding like Kickstarter and GoFundMe and those kind of things. And to think about, we could use meditation in a similar way. Instead of investing in somebody's startup company, we're investing in the field, that we're bringing that sense of love, light, peace to this field to do things like most of the studies that they've looked at, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, looked at creating peace. And I was wondering, you know, if we can get enough people, is there potential, do you think, that we could affect something as large as climate change?
Well, Angela, the evidence is there that we can at least create peace, and there's also evidence that there's good evidence that we can affect the climate too, and I'll talk about that, because that's also an important thing. We can't just be at peace with ourselves, we have to learn to be at peace with our planet too. This effect works with the large groups of people meditating, because when that happens, you get large groups experience transcendental consciousness together. And then they broadcast the qualities out there. The other people are broadcasting from their very stress level. They're broadcasting stress and negativity and hostility and aggression. When you're in transcendental consciousness, you broadcast the qualities inherent on that level of consciousness, and that is peace, orderliness, and harmony. And the mental energies of the group reinforce one another. That's why it's more powerful in the group. They reinforce one another into a surge of positivity that overrides the stressful emissions of the surrounding population. The minds of everyone in the whole area receive this broadcast of coherence. It's a very subtle effect that's under the threshold of most people's perceptual awareness. They wouldn't be aware that people out there are meditating. They would just find themselves thinking more clearly and being more at peace with themselves and not being as angry. So their influence through this field where all our human minds are joined, it's a life-nurturing energy that gets broadcast that purifies this collective consciousness of fear and hostility before those negative forces can build up and erupt into crime and war.
So I want to pause for a second, because I want to mention that specifically, I don't know about the other the ones that they did in Lebanon. Maybe you can speak specifically on that. But I know in the study that they did in Washington, D.C., the meditators were just meditating. They weren't sitting there specifically thinking about, we're going to drop the violence rate in D.C. It was just by their pure presence and level of peace that they were creating that it had that effect. So I just wanted to say, because I think lots of times we think that we need to have consensus, that we all need to believe the same thing, and, you know, we want to bring down war, we want to, you know, or you know, even if looking at something like climate change, where it can be a very polarizing conversation, that just in itself, by bringing that level of peace and mindfulness, especially in groups, creates that effect, that we don't have to have consensus that, you know, climate change is man-made or not, that if we can still have that group of people coming together, that we can create that effect. So I speak a little on that.
Definitely.
I kind of interrupted you a bit, but
it's not a matter of thinking about it. It's not a matter of feeling peaceful inside, really. It's a matter of reaching a state where there are no thoughts. And that's where you connect with the transcendental consciousness. And I'll talk more about that later. If achieving this state of no thoughts. It doesn't matter really what a person's views were about peace. There are people in these assemblies who had many different views. Some people were supportive of the military. Some people were actually felt, well, this is an important thing in this war and everything. So it wasn't a matter of everybody having to agree on this issue. Everybody who has the ability to think can go beyond thinking and experience transcendental consciousness, which is a state of no thoughts, of least mental activity. And from there, this positive effect comes out. Now, according to the ancient Vedic tradition, if a very large number of people meditate together, positive effects will occur globally. And Maharshi decided he would test that. And he put, as you mentioned, 7,000 meditators. And the first one of these was in Fairfield, Iowa. It was 7,000 because he thought he'd start with that because that's the square root of 1% of the world population. So we'll try that. He got them together at the TM University in Fairfield, Iowa for doing long meditations. And the results during the Civil War in Lebanon, thousands of miles away, were a 71% decrease in war deaths there and a 68% decrease in injuries, a 48% decrease in combat incidents, and on the positive side, a 66% increase in cooperative efforts to end the Civil War. The statisticians did a time series analysis because this was published in a peer-reviewed journal where they really examined this thing, and that time series analysis confirmed that the causation must have been this course. It's been also shown that groups of 7,000 meditators reduced terrorism. During three of these large assemblies, worldwide terrorism dropped by an average of 72% as compared to all other weeks in a two-year period. And again, they did a statistical analysis that ruled out the possibility that this reduction was due to cycles or seasonal changes or other trends. There's been peer-reviewed studies reviewed by people who don't meditate, who don't even interested in it, not necessarily believe it could happen, skeptical scientists. But they admitted, well, we don't know how this works, but there's something going on here, so you should publish the study. So far, there have been 23 studies based on 50 experiments that document these long-distance effects of large groups of meditators in reducing violence, but also improving the quality of life. But these dramatic results have been documented only with transcendental meditation, because TM is fundamentally different from other types of meditation. The other methods use either contemplation or concentration or mental control, and those are mental efforts. They're not very effective ways to reach samadhi, transcendental consciousness, which is a state of no mental activity, in which the mind is free of thoughts. You can't use the tools of thinking to get beyond thinking. TM does it because it's effortless. It's a simple process that allows the mind to naturally transcend thought. And the mantras used in TM are designed to become finer and finer and fainter until they fade away entirely, and then the mind is left alert and aware, but without thoughts. That's the state of pure awareness. You could say it's just conscious in itself without an object of consciousness. There's no split there. It's all one thing.
So I want to pause there for a second, because some people might have heard of transcendental meditation and I know that if you look up TM, it's a trademarked thing. So it's a very specific thing that where you work with somebody and then you're given a mantra. Do you think that it works the same if you were just to use Om or repeat, create your own mantra and just use that repetition for yourself?
It's been shown repeatedly that that doesn't work very well. I mean, it's better than nothing, probably, but it doesn't achieve this state of samadhi, where your mind is free of thoughts, yet you're still alert and aware inside. It doesn't achieve that very well at all. It can move in that direction, and a lot of things can move in that direction. And a lot of different cultures have different ways of approaching this field, but it's been shown that this effortless form of meditation, where you slip through your thoughts rather than trying to control your thoughts, rather than trying to concentrate on something, you use this disappearing mantra that fades away and leaves your mind empty but free. And so since it is a unique technique, Maharishi approached the governments of the world with these studies of peace and just asked that they establish these large groups to TM as a trial and see if it would secure peace and social harmony. Because these other and the governments of the world said, no, we're not interested in that. So Maharishi decided to build a long-term group on his own. And with the help of a wealthy donor, they built a residential center in India near Delhi and filled it with 7,000 meditators practicing several hours a day. These other experiments before that had been short-term. They were just a few weeks or months. And then after that, things went back to being bad again, the usual bad. This experiment lasted 2 years, though. And it was a time that fundamentally changed the world. This was the late 80s into the early 90s. In that time, as those of you who rolled it up to remember, the Cold War ended, communism collapsed, the people of Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, they freed themselves from a totalitarian dictatorship. The Berlin Wall came down. 80 nations signed an agreement that saved the ozone layer. That's the evidence that we can affect the climate. It's not that when you have large groups of people meditating, the ozone layer improves. It's that it affects people's thoughts, and they say, hey, we've got to do something about this. And they start taking action.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We'll continue this conversation. We're going to return here on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
September 23rd, September 23rd, September 23rd. Mark that down on your calendar. Put it in your phone. Whatever you do, circle that date. 9 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio. Yes, it is the return of the Joe Show. We will come back live with season 9. Wow, 9 seasons. I can only think of 4. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Salt, pepper, oregano, and thyme. No. Anyways, we don't have that much time. We're going to be back live September 23rd. Don't forget, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on OM Times Radio.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
And we're back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. If you're just joining us, we have William T. Hathaway, who has been on the program before and is also a regular contributor to my blog at HestiaHealth.com. We are talking about peace and transcendental meditation and the effects of meditation, not only on the individual, but also how it can be used to impact the global community. So one of the things that I hear, because I teach classes locally, community education classes, I teach other classes, and people will say that they would love to take a transcendental meditation class, but they are too expensive. So one thing I just wanted to see if what somebody can do in that instance to help them learn this specific practice.
The reason it's expensive is that because it takes a lot of time to learn this, because it's a whole other way of thinking. Especially in our culture, we're raised to focus. We think of your mind, you focus on something, you concentrate on it, and you do something, you know. This is a whole other way of thinking that involves absolutely no mental control whatsoever. It takes a while to get used to this, to be able to do it right. So it's a whole course involving many sessions where you get your meditation checked. First you learn it, you learn all the principles, and you learn the practice. But then it needs to be fairly often checked to make sure you're not slipping back into this old concentration way of focusing on it, of letting it go. It's hard for us to let go. Mm-hmm. And it involves a lot of teacher time. The other reason it's expensive is because it's expensive in the well-to-do countries, because people there, they can get the money together. It's not all that expensive. In the poor countries, there's just no way they can save that money. They're just living from hand to mouth, most people there. So the higher costs in the well-to-do countries are supporting the teaching of TM in the poorer countries. So yeah, it's expensive, but, you know, it's the kind of thing you have to, sometimes you have to give up something. You have to maybe not go to movies for a couple of months, and that's then you'll have the money. It's good sometimes to have to sacrifice a little bit to get something like that. But yeah, the money is always a problem in this culture, in our society. We can talk about that later. And it was a problem here with this course in India. The donor, he was a rich man, but supporting 7,000 people in India for years and years is an expensive business. And he eventually ran out of money. And the course couldn't continue. Marshy tried again to convince the government to take over the funding, because it's an amount per year that's just a fraction of what they spend on the military in one heartbeat. But again, the governments didn't want anything to do with it. And the reason, why would they turn down the scientifically varied program? It costs little, wouldn't hurt anything. It could possibly bring world peace. Why would they turn it down? Well, it turns out in three of the countries that participated in these initial experiments, the governments were thrown out of office after the assemblies. There were three dictators, the Shah in Iran, and Somoza in Nicaragua, and Marcos in the Philippines. All three of them had invited the TM group to come there because their populations were rising in rebellion. And the TM teachers went and they taught the local population, and they got together in these big groups. The dictators hoped these meditating groups would kind of act as a social tranquilizer, make everybody very peaceful and calm inside and happy, would pacify them. Mm. But the opposite turned out to be the case. The increased coherence generated by these groups enabled the whole society to join together and throw these dictators out. And they did it in all three cases with a minimum violence. The other governments didn't want to risk losing power through a similar upsurge in the collective conscience of their people. Also, a lot of governments, they pay lip service to peace, but they don't really want it. They want to use the military to control their own people or to enforce aggressive foreign policies. And also, a lot of them are profiting from the arms trade. Peace could be bad for business. So, yeah, they They turned it down, and then what happened then was that in the early 90s, after this group was 7,000 was dissolved, the negative consequences started building up. The USA, good old USA, decided for full spectrum dominance, even though they were then the only world power, they went for full spectrum dominance across every field. They developed new nuclear weapons. The first Gulf War broke out in Iraq. Yugoslavia dissolved into violent chaos. Terrorism multiplied. And we're still seeing that now. So Barashi then tried to rebuild this group on his own. And to finance it, he raised the prices for learning TM. That's another reason it's expensive, is because the money that people pay to learn it, some of that goes to support this group in India. There's 2,000 people there, and they're increasing it. And there's also a group of 2,000 people in Fairfield, Iowa, at the TM University there. And if we can keep building these groups, we could all be in for a new era. We can't say it's proven yet, but the evidence is there that there could something obviously very good is happening here. And we should really go into it and see what it would be like to have this on a permanent basis. Why not try it? The research, if you want more information and citations on these studies, you can find that at www.permanentpeace.org and also at www.tm.org, where you can learn more about these very interesting studies.
Well, I know from a lot of research that I've done, and so I would like your insights on this as well, because honestly, as beneficial as I see transcendental meditation is, I do see that I know that people can make sacrifices so they can afford the course, but I also see that if we are wanting to create mass effect, that there's going to need to be a way to get this information without people taking a course that takes a couple hundred dollars, which you're right, in the whole scheme of things, it's not very much money, but consistently I get that feedback. So they're also doing a lot of studies with mindfulness-based meditation. They've looked at monks and the way that affects the brain. And I just wonder, do you see that there is a way for people to, in whatever regard that is for them, to connect with meditation and that still have the same global effect?
Unfortunately, not. The studies that have been done on the mindfulness meditation with Zen Buddhists show that the very, very experienced monks who've been doing this all their lives and devoted their whole lives to this in Japan primarily, they have a level when their brain waves are measured and their physiological changes are chronicled, they have a level, they achieve the state of transcendental consciousness. But only after this, decades and decades of hard labor, that's all they do is they're monks. They achieve a level of transcendental consciousness that's the equivalent of a person who just has done TM for a couple of months. Because the Zen meditation does is it's a matter of control. And the control, you don't reach a state of no mental activity by methods of control, because that's an activity. And it takes for a very, very long time and sacrificing the whole rest of your life. With TM, you have an active life. You can do anything you want. It's just 20 minutes twice a day, or you can do it longer if you want. You do this, and so it's a technique for our age, and the others they don't show the same results.
Well, that's fair enough. So when you say transcendental consciousness, because some people, I think they have a good idea of consciousness, but then you hear collective consciousness, you hear universal consciousness, Christ consciousness. There's lots of different words that people put in front. So I want to get very clear for my listeners. When you say transcendental consciousness, what exactly are you talking about?
It's a state where the ordinarily, when you measure a person's EEG, you see the brain waves are uncoordinated.
Oh.
The brain waves are sort of scattered across the whole brain surface. But when the person starts to meditate, the brain waves become coherent. They reinforce one another in phases that swing from one side of the brain to another and from the top of the brain back towards the bottom of the back towards the brain stem. It's integrated and coherent. And it also shows evidence in the breath rate. The oxygen consumption gets very, very low, twice as low as in deep sleep. And your blood chemistry changes. The hormonal levels, the serotonin increases, cortisol decreases. And it's all these things together that define this as a fourth state of consciousness. Because if you take a person ordinary waking state, they don't show these brainwave parameters. The level of the alpha waves is much different there. And also the whole other, it doesn't show the same level in sleep. There's a whole other kind of mental functioning. But also in dreaming, there's a third one. And most of us just bounce between these three states, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. But transcendental consciousness is another one of these states. And so if you dip into this for 20 minutes twice a day, it energizes you and it purifies your system of stress, of things that have been built up in it, of traumas, of karma, the effect of our past actions. It clears some of these things up. And so it's a different, and collectively, it also works that way, because since we are connected, if one person is broadcasting clarity, the other people pick up on it to a degree.
Well, when we get back, I want to shift this conversation from our global to the individual and talk about some real life ways that meditation has changed your life and can change the life of our listeners. So we'll talk about that more when we return here on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
back here in the last segment of Entanglement Radio on the Om Times Radio Network. I am your host, Angela Levesque. And my guest again today, if you are just joining us, is William T. Hathaway. This is the segment of the program here where we like to bring it on home, and it's brought to you by Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. And you can find out more about Hestia Health at hestiahealth.com. So, William, you spoke a little bit at the very beginning of the show about how meditation helped you when you came back from the war and some of the emotional trauma and stuff that you carried with you. But it has been something that, I would like to know, when did you actually start meditating?
In 1968, a great year. a lot of things happened in 1968. And that was the best thing that happened to me, in that year and in all the years since then, basically. I didn't start thinking. I started because of post-traumatic stress syndrome, but it had other effects that later I realized that I never had connected with meditation, because I suffered a brain injury at birth. And EEG then showed my brain waves were very chaotic and abnormal. And in school, I had this attention deficit disorder. I couldn't concentrate. My thoughts were cloudy. My grades were mediocre. And I flunked out of my first university. And as I mentioned, I wanted to become a writer. But back then, my writing was very disorganized and unclear. And I got into drugs, thinking that would be a way to be more creative and to write. But that made my thoughts even foggier. And then after the Army, when I had all this PTSD, the post-traumatic stress syndrome, I was really in bad shape, because that was on top of the problems from the brain injury. After I started TM, though, my thoughts became clearer. I didn't want the drugs. I could concentrate. I could write. And one of my essays gained me entrance into a much better university than the one I flunked out of. The essay got me into Columbia University, New York City. And this time my grades were so good, I received a scholarship. And then the novel won this literary award, and I became a professor. And I've now published 8 books and a lot of shorter pieces. And now the EEG shows normal, orderly brain waves with no sign of damage. So it was TM that healed this birth injury and also got rid of my my PTSD, gave me access to my talents, my mental abilities. And I'm sure without meditation, neither one of these changes would have occurred. That's why I'm so enthused about it, because it changed 2 major problems that I had, the PTSD and this early birth injury. It has deep physiological effects on it. And Maharshi was a physicist. He had a master's degree in physics, and he could so he understood the scientific aspect of it and how important that is now. And he could integrate both sides, the spirituality with the science. And that's why it's really a technique for us now, for the current world.
Well, I know that I would love to see, and I know, like in all your books, the characters use TM, and I am a huge proponent of meditation. I talk about it on the show. I talk about it wherever I can, because I do think not only does it have a huge impact, and I'm so glad you shared your personal story. As I mentioned last week, we had Dr. Brant Courtwright on, and he talked about neurogenesis and the effect of meditation on the building of birthing of new neurons in the brain and stuff that they didn't think was possible before. And now, as we're seeing this beautiful bridging of spirituality and science and physics and all this, you know, we're just seeing it everywhere, how meditation shows up and changes things. It's just the more that it gets out there, the happier I am. So I'm so glad that you shared that story. And if you didn't hear my show last week, I'm saying this to the listeners, you should check that out. It's a really good understanding, both the science and the story of how meditation can change us. And I love that the science is going there. So knowing, you know, we talked about these studies and the the 90s. And now, what would you like to see starting today? Where would you like this to go, both individually and collectively?
Well, I think we need to work at combining the spiritual with the activity. It's, as I mentioned before, these changes didn't occur just because people were sitting there meditating. The ozone layer wasn't healed by the meditation. It was that the meditation affected people's brains, and they went out and acted differently. They went out and said, hey, we need to change this. We need to do this. We know it's going to be unpleasant for some of the people, but you're going to have to change your missions. You're going to have to change your factories. And now is the time to do it. And they forced these changes through. So to combine the spiritual with real activity that's aimed at changing our political situation, changing our economic system. My new book describes how that could be done, Leader of the Revolutionary. She doesn't have the blinders that most adults have. She just sees things are terrible and says, we need to change this. So it's kind of inspiration. If Lilac, this 8-year-old girl, can do it, well, we can too. And I discuss more of this stuff on my website at www.peacewriter.org, samples from the book, and other research into these various areas of trying to combine spirituality with activist politics. And politics as a dirty word for good reasons, but real politics is something quite necessary that all of us practice when we try to change things. That's politics. It doesn't happen in the Congress, really. Politics, or as a president, politics happens in changing it from the ground up. And getting rid of this power structure that claims to have a monopoly on politics, and that's both the major parties are that they're the power structure that say, hey, we're politics. Well, we got to get rid of them, and we need to unite and do that, and we need to do it as peaceably as we can. But and these so-called amateurs like Donald Trump certainly aren't going to do it. They're tied to the economic system, and the politicians are tied to the same economic system. So that's what we've got to change at the workplace. We've got to change the economic system, because politics is derived in the USA from the economics. That's who's running the politicians, is the economic forces behind it, and they're the ones whose power we need to take back and take back for ourselves and build economic democracy. We have some political democracy now, but the greater power is coming on above from the corporations, who decide, hey, here's what you're gonna be paid, here's how many hours you're gonna have to work. You have these choices of jobs, you either take it or you starve. That's the power that's bearing down on us. And that's what we've gotta fight against. But we need to do it consciously, peacefully. As peacefully as we can, but we need to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so we can't get into this too much. But, you know, the UN is meeting in the next few days, and they're discussing the millennial goals. And their kind of approach is, if we can just bring the same level of growth to the poverty-stricken countries, but we can't have that same level of growth everywhere. That is not a realistic or sustainable viewpoint. So it goes back again to this conversation about peace and starting within, and the meditation aspects, and connecting and understanding this field. And because fundamentally, as you mentioned, we are going to have to change the economics of it all. So we don't have time to get into that, but we've kind of discussed that on previous shows as well. So, well, I want to give you mentioned it once, but I want to give you plenty of opportunity now to just share how people can read your books and find out more about what we've been talking about today, the transcendental meditation and some of the studies.
Well, I've got samples of the books on www.peacewriter.org, and also links to other articles on these topics. And if you're interested in pursuing it, you can find them there, and you can write to me if you have feedback, positive or negative. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is on the site, and we can get into a dialogue about this and see what we can do as the people. That's us.
Yes. Well, thank you again for being on the program. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've touched on some of those topics in a previous conversation that we had on May 13th when we talked about Lila the Revolutionary specifically. So you can find out more there as well. So I just want to thank you for being on the program today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much, Angela. Just till next time.
Till next time. All right. Again, that was William T. Hathaway. And yes, coming up next week, we have the fabulous Shelley Wilson. If you are a regular reader of Ohm Times, you probably know exactly who Shelley is. She's an author. She's a medium. She's just an incredible lady. So we will have her on the program. And then the first week in October, we are going to have Richard Redden. He's the author of Gene Keys. And we also have Phyllis King. We have some amazing guests coming up in October, so stay tuned for that. Coming up next here on Ohm Times Radio Network, we have Equilarium FM with Claire Johnson. And I just want to remind my listeners that I do have a special project, a special part on my website to share your creations, artistic endeavors, and whatever that may be. Maybe it's poetry and writing, or maybe it's art, sculptures, maybe it's recipes. Maybe your artistic endeavor is cooking and you'd like to share your recipe with the world. You can find out more by going to my website under Fertile Light, which is under the blog. And you can also send contributions and submissions to fertilelight@hestiahealth.com. Let me just see. I think you can hear my show live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time or 12 p.m. Eastern. And you can find out all my past shows by going to the archive section at the Ohm Times Radio website. So this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I will see you next week.